The Dental Practice Fixers podcast is brought to you by the Maddow Center for Dental Practice Success. To find out how we can help increase the success of your practice, check out maddow.com or call us at 1-800-258-0060.
Remodeling the office and more. What are the patients going to say to you? Hey there, Dr. David Maddow, along with
Dr. Richard Maddow. Welcome once again to the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. We're so glad to have you here. We really appreciate all the positive comments. Give us a review if you feel like it. We would love it. Or a comment on YouTube. Let us know you're out there, please. Hey, anyway, speaking of people that are out there, we got a great question today from... Speaking of out there, is St. Paul, Minnesota out there? I guess it's out there.
It's either out there or in there. I'm not sure.
Right, one or the other.
Yeah.
Right
at the, we got something from St. Paul, Minnesota?
St. Paul, Minnesota. Wow. Right on towards the beginning of the Mississippi River.
Very cool.
They have dentists there in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Excellent.
Let's see what this one had to say.
Okay.
It says, DP Fixers. I like how people address us a little different. Sometimes people say brothers, Drs. Maddow, Fixers. Hey, guys.
We're the Fixers.
Idiots, whatever. DP Fixers. I've owned my practice for over 3 years. Bought it from a retiring dentist. Things were going well, and my practice cash flow is good enough that I am considering a remodel. As it is, the practice is beginning to look a little shabby. Carpet is worn in the waiting room, etc. I'm worried that the patients will make comments like, I paid for this remodel. Also, I'm considering getting a CBCT so I can do more implants. Should I hide it in an inconspicuous place so patients won't notice?
Wow, that is great. Pretty, like hide, maybe rent another space for that, just for that.
Or build a little fence. Sign, Dr. Ed, St. Paul, Minnesota. Or Minnesota, as they may say. St. Paul, Minnesota. Well, that's a great question, Dr. Ed. A great series of questions. Thanks so much for contacting the Fixers. What do you think, man?
Well, let's see. Let's start off before we're going to say what's going to happen if he gets it. First of all, let's evaluate. Dr. Ed, right? Yep. Dr. Ed, do you really need both of these things, one or both of these things? That has to be the first thing because they're
meaning
both expensive.
Meaning the remodel and the CBCT?
Yeah. Or one or the other, or both. Right. They're both very expensive, and I guess remodeling, although it looks, I don't know how bad your office looks. You said it's starting to look a little worn out, the carpet's worn, but that's not going to really, there's not going to be any return on investment on that. I mean, some could say, well, maybe a little because people appreciate the office more and have more confidence because it's cleaner and newer, but it's negligible.
So I'm not so sure I agree.
Do you really need, really?
I'm not so sure I agree.
I mean, let's hear.
I think it's one of those things that's really difficult to measure. And again, we haven't seen Dr. Ed's office in St. Paul, Minnesota. But if he purchased it from an old guy or gal and the place hasn't been remodeled in 20 or 25 years, I think it's tough to measure, but I would say it's probably worth the money and you could have an impossible to measure return on investment. But I also think that you can do it really inexpensively. I mean, paint and carpet do wonders. I think sometimes people, you know, they get a designer in there and they're bringing in all this new furniture and they're linking it thematically and they just do it overkill. To me, paint and carpet really could make a huge difference. Return on investment is tough to measure.
I go back to the question, though. Like, you're assuming or you put the example out there that if he bought it from an old dentist and it's many, many, many years old. But suppose he didn't. Suppose he just, in his mind, he just thinks. All I'm saying is make sure you need
yeah.
it.
Like, I mean, if you really don't need it, you don't need it. It's a little shabby. The carpet is worn in the waiting room. I think he probably needs it. But I guess the point is it is tough to measure the return on investment. Although so don't go crazy. Don't take out a loan and spend $100,000 on an office remodel.
Well, I wouldn't take out a loan at all for an office remodel.
Just clean the place up. Paint and carpet, I think.
I mean, I'd say if you can't pay cash for that out of your account, there is no way you should be taking a loan for remodel.
Well, he says practice cash flow is good enough.
Okay,
he's considering a remodel.
Okay, I like that then. Yeah. That's good. So, okay, that's the first
thing. It's not like you're building a new building and you need to talk to a bank.
Right.
You should be able to handle this.
And again, so let's go to the CBCT.
Let's back up for a second.
Yeah.
Because he did ask the question, will patients make comments like, I paid for this remodel?
Yeah, I thought we can link the two, but we could do one at a time, but it's kind of the same. But sure, let's do that.
Okay, let's talk about that first.
Yeah, okay, fine. Patients may say it. They probably would. Some wise guy is going to say it. When I in my practice, people said stuff like that all the time.
Yep.
And
you know how I always responded?
You did. Thank you.
I said, well, thank you. I didn't say you did, but
you did pay for it.
I paid for this remodel. Oh, well, thank you very much. What right. else can you say? You know what's really funny though? I can't remember if I've told this story before or not, but when I purchased the famous bankrupt practice with a for sale sign on it, I was driving a Chevy Nova. And I didn't park it right out front, but somehow I guess patients knew it was my Chevy Nova. Maybe because I had the big Maryland Dental School. No, it didn't have that.
You had one of those?
I did not. I'm probably a grateful
nerd.
Sticker. Right. I saw a Deadhead sticker on the Nova.
You said no one ever.
Right.
probably said a lot. Right.
Especially the old school Novas.
Oh, definitely.
But not a Nova SS. Probably not a dead sticker on that. A couple of patients gave me a hard time. They said, what's a doctor doing driving a Nova? Now, I didn't care. I thought it was pretty funny. But they do want to see you as successful to a certain extent. They don't want to see you flaunt your wealth or brag or maybe, you know, be driving a Lamborghini.
But see, that's a no-win because they made fun of you about the Nova. But yeah, suppose you drive up in a Lamborghini. Hey, doctor, you're charging too much. Your fees are too much. Right. So is there like a win? A win
good
at all?
Middle ground.
Is there?
I think
like drive
so.
Up in a what?
Well, the car that I replaced that Nova with, it was also no longer made, just like Novas, but it was a Saab 900. It was, you know, technically a luxury car, but it certainly wasn't expensive, but it looked nice. I felt like a doctor driving the thing.
Well, I'm going to go out on a tangent, or a limb? Both. Okay. Let's do both. Okay, so here's an example of this, and I'm going to tell you how I felt a little bit weird about this. But I think I may have even told you the story. There's an Italian restaurant not that far from here that Yoko and I go to sometimes in the evening, and there's a what is that? I can't remember. I told you what car it was, but it's that fancy Italian car. I thought it was
Alfa Romeo.
There's always like, to me, I don't know much about cars, but it looks super expensive to me, and it's parked in the very first spot right outside the restaurant. And as it turns out, it's the owner's.
Ah.
So is that a good thing to do? Like you're kind of flaunting it that, oh, this I'm able to get this real super expensive car. And not only that, you're taking up your customer's parking spot. So he's parked right in the front row. And Dennis could be doing the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I think first of all, it's cool that the owner of an Italian restaurant drives an Italian car. I like that. Seriously.
Okay,
that's good.
Right.
You feel more Italian. Like, and Alfa Romeos, I think, depending on the model, they're not Lamborghinis or Ferraris.
Oh, okay, I thought they were. Maybe they're not.
Taking up the first spot, bad.
Not cool.
Bad.
Not
but,
cool.
But don't you want the owner of the restaurant you like to be successful?
Not that successful. Well, I think his pizzas are probably just maybe a dollar too much a piece. That's all. Depending on what it's probably leased. Depending on what his lease is.
Probably leased, right. Yeah, I guess there's a line.
Do you want your dentist pulling up in a Lambo? I'd say no, probably
but this
not.
I don't think this guy's pulling up in a Lambo.
No.
I think the equivalent of a Saab 900 in those days would be like pulling up in a Volvo. I don't know. I think, you know, you don't want them to be a schlepper. You don't want them to be a schlub.
You don't want them pulling up in like a rusted old Maverick.
A rust bucket.
Right. You don't want that.
I mean, I feel like you want your physician, your dentist, your accountant, your attorney. You want these people to be successful.
Right.
You don't want them to be showy, but you want them to be successful.
Right.
So I think also having worn out carpet and chipped walls and, you know, wood paneling that looks like it's from the club basement in 1976 does not look like you're going to an office where the doctor's successful.
Right. I'm going to give you that.
So it's got to be clean. New looking. It should be.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
So let's do the remodel. Keep it to one you can afford. I think your point of if your checkbook cash flow can pay for it, then you can do it.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's do the remodel.
We're doing it? Okay.
Let's do it. Okay. How about
we haven't seen the office. We're doing the remodel. But that's okay.
How about the CBCT, the cone beam? Now that you're not paying for, you're not using cash flow to pay for the cone beam. Let's face it.
Should be.
That's just not realistic. I don't think any dentist uses cash flow to pay for a cone beam. I mean, probably not. So his question was, I'm considering getting, I like this question because it actually has some subtle things to it that we need to address. I like this part. I'm considering getting a cone beam so I can do more implants.
So in other words, the cone beam is gonna actually do the treatment planning, help him get more cases.
Right,
that's what he
said. Right. I think that's what he's insinuating.
That's really good.
Now,
I like that.
I think you can make the argument that if you want to do implants and be a state-of-the-art practitioner, a cone beam is a very useful tool. But will it help you do more implants?
won't help you do more. Nobody's going to be coming to you and saying, I'm coming to you because you have a cone beam.
Exactly. I feel like this guy's being sold a bill of goods by Probably. The cone beam manufacturer saying, you're going to do a lot more implants if and when you get this cone beam. And that's the kind of thing that's troublesome.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I mean, if he's already got a great implant practice, or maybe if people are, if he's been treatment planning implants out the yin-yang and then feels like he can't do them as well as he would like to because he doesn't have a cone beam, well, that's one thing. Right.
Yeah, I'd say there's nothing wrong with while you're building your implant practice, though. There's nothing wrong with starting off with, like, without a cone beam right away.
I agree.
Because that's not, yeah, it's very right. expensive. It's right. not going to get you more
right.
patients.
Right. I agree. So, and even if worse comes to worse and you've got a complex case where you feel like you couldn't even touch the thing without a cone beam, you can refer yeah. out just for the,
yeah, absolutely.
The imaging.
Absolutely. Yep. Definitely. Yeah.
So, okay. So we both agree. If you're ready for a cone beam and you're doing a lot of implants and you feel like that you're being hindered clinically, then sure, get a cone beam. But don't get it thinking your implant practice will increase because you have it. Okay, now,
and make sure you can afford it. I just have a feeling the reps are just using so many sales lines to make you believe that you have to get this, and it's like, and if you don't have it, you're gonna have a failing right. practice. Make Agreed. Sure you can afford the thing, please.
Do the math.
Yeah, exactly.
As one might say, do the math.
Now,
I love this. Yeah, should I hide it in an inconspicuous place so patients won't notice?
Patients, of course. Oh, you've got a cone beam. Look, I see you've got a brand new cone beam there. I'm not coming here anymore.
You've got a cone beam and a Lamborghini.
That's a great question. Should I
never
hide
heard that one before.
Should I hide it?
Will the patients really know this is different than any other X-ray
know
machine?
What the heck's going on?
It looks
on.
A little fancier, schmancier, but I don't think that they would think it's anything unusual to see a piece of tech equipment in your practice.
You know, I think there's like a... There's an underlying theme in this question that this doctor's, you know, you kind of expanded a little bit on the second part, but there's an underlying theme. This doctor, I believe, does not have enough self-confidence. This doctor is worried, like, what are my patients going to think if I get new carpet, if I get this new piece of technology? What are they going to think? What are they going to say to me? Am I going to look too successful? Am I going to look like I'm making too much money? No.
It's a great point. And I think maybe typical when you buy an older practice and a lot of the patients are still carryovers from the old doctor, you're thinking like, are they going to think this new young buck is just spending their money left and right and now they're going to raise the fees, right?
I think it's the opposite though. I think when you buy an older practice and the patients have been coming to this place for years and they see some new technology coming in, they're going to say, wow, we finally have a doctor that's like keeping up with things.
Right.
I think it could go that
way.
I agree.
Dr. Ed, this guy must know what he's doing. He got new carpet.
Yeah. He must be a good dentist. He got brand new carpet. I'm referring all my friends and family.
And paint.
And what's over there? It's a cone
where?
Beam.
Where?
It's a cone beam.
And the paint shades match, so he's probably a great cosmetic dentist. The paint matches the carpet.
Does he do cosmetic dentistry also, you think?
I think he only does uncosmetic dentistry. Listen, you know... Is it time we retire that term?
I do cosmetic.
I'm looking for a cosmetic dentist. Oh, not me. I want a dentist who's very uncosmetic, whose shades don't match. If you're not a cosmetic dentist, what the hell?
These days, right? Yeah. I mean, in 1970, you'd probably get away without being a cosmetic dentist.
Right, right.
Slung amalgam all day,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly. Or you did it nicely. Well, was Ken Grubbs a cosmetic dentist?
He was absolutely a cosmetic dentist. His amalgams on the posterior teeth look better than most people's anterior teeth, I think.
His amalgams belonged in a museum.
Museum.
They were unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Ken Grubbs, are you watching this podcast? Where are you? Monroe, Georgia, somewhere. What a great guy. I wonder if he's still practicing.
I don't know.
Super good guy. All right. Well, hey, I think this is a great question, Dr. Ed. We really appreciate it. Keep those questions coming out there in podcast land. It's like David Letterman used to do. He'd read something and then he'd like throw it back and they get a sound effect. We get a sound effect. You're like, bing.
Did Carson do something like
Carson did it with Karnak, I think.
That's right, with Karnak.
He like flipped the index card
that's
way.
That's exactly.
But I think Letterman like used to fling it into the back and then as it hit the fake background, you'd hear a sound effect.
Who's his drummer? Can we get him to drummer?
Carson's drummer was Ed Shaughnessy.
Oh, I don't know that name.
Letterman's drummer.
I don't know that name. Did he have another drummer that was like more?
Well, Max Weinberg was the drummer for Conan O'Brien,
I don't know. Shows how much I watch all this.
Letterman,
stuff.
I mean, Paul Schaefer was his band leader. I can't remember who his drummer was. Marshall, if you're listening, who was Letterman's drummer?
Let's do a call.
Before we do the call, real quickly, Fat Merchant, the best credit card processor. Why? Because they're high tech, they're easy to use, they give you great reporting, mm-hmm. But most of all, they save you money. They do not charge an interchange plus fee. In other words, whoever's doing your credit card processing right now, tax on a percentage fee after the credit card company tax on their percentage, which is already high enough. Fat merchants like a disruptor. They're like Amazon, Uber, Lyft, eBay, Spotify. Who's another disruptor? Airbnb.
Who's that one for the cars? I use it all the time.
What do they do with cars? Like a car rental?
Yeah, but you just rent from Turo. It's Turo, T-U-R-O. You just rent from like another person.
Wow.
Somebody's got like a, name a typical car, Toyota Corolla, and they're not using it. They'll put it up on Turo. You can rent it for like, you know, 30 bucks a day or something like that.
No kidding.
I've used it a bunch. It's actually
What's
really
your experience
good.
Been like with
it's
that?
It's been very good, actually.
Well, so you could rent like Adam's Corolla if you wanted to?
You could do that. Yeah. But the funny thing is you could rent like really like, let's say you want to impress somebody. You're going on a date.
I'm going on a date. I want to pull up in a Tesla Model S.
You can absolutely do that.
Really?
I've seen it. Wow. No question. You pull up in like a Lambo or something like that for the day if you want.
A Land Rover?
A Land Rover.
Who's going to own a Lamborghini
schlub
who has an iPhone come and rent it?
That's exactly what I thought. That's like the last thing I would do if I had a car like that. Just put it on Toro.
It's unbelievable.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
And then I guess they have to tell their insurance that they're renting out this car, so their insurance is going to explode.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that part works. I think it becomes the driver's insurance that takes. But I don't know. That's a great question. I wouldn't mess with
it. So when you signed up for Toro, did they screen you? Do you have to prove you have car insurance and all those things?
I believe so. And also, I think there still is a chance every time you rent, you can buy the insurance through Toro. It's kind of like getting it through, which I never do because my insurance pays for that. But you can do it. They try to make you. They have you like different levels, and they try to make you feel guilty. And if you click the bottom one, it says like. It's like in real big letters, you are uninsured.
Guess who doesn't have insurance?
Exactly.
But they still let you rent it?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
How could you?
Because you're really not uninsured because they know that you probably have your own insurance and that pays for it.
Is it just like a scare tactic?
Scare tactic.
Something like most of the profits in the insurance?
A lot of it is probably.
Wow. Yeah.
Like the rental car company, same thing. They make a ton of money with the insurance, a ton.
How about the movies and the popcorn and the soda?
Oh, they make nothing on the movie itself, I think. It's all in the popcorn and soda.
Candy and I went to the movies yesterday.
Right.
And she got a small fountain drink.
Uh-huh.
Small.
Small? Like how big about?
I'd say.
Okay.
It was $6.
Oh, God.
$6.
She didn't take it back and say, no, I only want one.
I don't want to buy the whole fountain.
$6.
I was really surprised.
But you know at the movie theater, it's like a given. That's how they make their money.
I thought it was going to be four maybe or something.
Six a little steep.
I thought it was
for the small.
Steep.
But then they used the line like for 25 cents more, you get one that's like this big.
But who wants one that big? They know
for 25 cents
the whole
more,
time.
But it's only 25.
But
cents.
You don't want it. Why spend the 25 cents
exactly
and then you don't
why
even want
they
one?
Do it? That's exactly right.
So maybe that 25 cents is like all profit.
All profit,
right?
Because they know you're not going to drink it, so it's all
right.
Profit.
Exactly. Fat merchant, they're a disruptor in the credit card industry. So. Go when you're a friend of us, which you can become a friend of us. You're already a friend of us, but you can.
Are we accepting friends now? We're accepting more friends.
You can prove it to Fat Merchant by calling. I'm going to have to cheat to look at this number, 844-860-9951. That's like a dedicated matter line, 844-860-9951. Or just go to the website, bit.ly/FATTMAD. We use Fat Merchant at the Matto Center for all of our stuff. We've saved a ton of money. And you just make that switch one time and you never look back. So do it. Fat Merchant.
Highly recommended. I'll say something real quick, Rich, just for a second.
Please.
And we'll move on. We said this a lot. If you're ready to take your practice to the next level, if you want to spend a day with us and our coaches and really learn how to improve your practice, become much more successful, more productive, and increase your bottom line.
What do you do?
You attend a masterclass. You attend a Matto masterclass. And simply just for more information, go to masterclass.matto.com. If you're watching the video, we'll have it right there, along with Rich's phone number. We'll have it right
My
down
phone
there.
Number. Yeah, just give me a call.
Phone number you just
Night
gave.
Or day.
But if you're listening to the audio, you've got to remember this. It's masterclass.matto.com. We'd love to spend a day with you, with our coaches, in beautiful Matto Center for Dental Practice Success here in Baltimore.
All right. Let's do the call.
Let's do it.
Dentistry, where we love to make you smile. Please press 1 for English. Para español, por.
Thank you for calling. Hey, how can I be small today?
I have a question for you. I had a crown done at a dentist a few years ago, and after about 2 or 2.5 years, it had to be redone, and they made me pay for that. And I know I need a couple more crowns, and I didn't really like that too much. I'm just wondering, is there any kind of warranty or guarantee on your treatment?
There is not.
No warranty at all?
No, because crowns, it depends a lot on if you grind and that kind of thing. They can definitely come off due to any kind of behavior that you have.
So it's okay. So the crown can come off. It'll be my fault. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Absolutely. That's why most places won't warranty them, because a lot of times it's the anatomy of the mouth that causes it to come back off.
Oh, the anatomy of the mouth. Wow. What do you mean by that?
The way that your teeth fit together, if you're grinding, a lot of times it will completely rip apart that cement that has that's holding it on, and that'll be why it comes off.
Wow. Interesting. If I'm grinding, is there treatment for that also?
Typically, we recommend a night guard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for the information.
No problem. You have a good day.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Good one.
Oh, wait a minute. The first thing, when she answered the phone, what did she like? I would have said, like, what?
Well, I wanted to explain that because our listeners won't hear that because we beeped it out. But she said, thank you for calling so-and-so dental practice, formerly so-and-so.
I couldn't make that out.
It was really hard to understand. I didn't understand it either until I replayed it. But I'm just guessing, just due to the name, that this was a traditional dental practice that was purchased by a DSO.
Oh, do you think that's what it was?
I would bet on it. Just because the new name was like a brand.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't, you know, Aspen or Heartland, one that everyone's familiar, but it sounded very branded.
Okay, gotcha.
It was like, thank you for calling. It was like, it was some brand that formerly would sound like a regular dental practice. So I think this is undergoing a transition.
Sounds like it.
Now, don't you find that usually when a DSO purchases a practice, one of the first things they do is some serious front desk training?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's what they're known for.
Yep, absolutely.
they skipped her.
she missed that class.
That was just unbelievable on so many levels. I loved it.
I loved it too. I like that she was blaming on the patient. Well,
it's your fault.
It's your fault.
Your fault. And
that was great. Unbelievable. I also do you offer any kind of warranty? It wasn't like any explanation or anything. It was just no. And then I ask why not to get more. So if I just stopped at no, the call would have been over.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Do you offer any kind of warranty? No. Okay. Thank you. Boom.
That would have been very interesting to see what would have happened.
Well, it was definitely going that way. And she knew that this patient needed 2 crowns.
Right.
There was no question. So someone's on the phone. They need 2 crowns. They want to go to their brand new DSO. And we're not saying this is a topic for maybe we'll talk about this on a different time. We're not talking about the merits of offering warranties or not offering warranties.
Not at all.
We're talking about the fact that this practice didn't. Okay, that's fine. But how do you handle the call?
Right. Everything she said was pretty much putting it back on you, blaming it on the caller, on the patient. If something goes wrong, it's your bite, it's something else.
It's the anatomy
of the mouth.
I love that. But she didn't really know what that meant.
No, but I love the question you asked when you said, but she said something about bite problems, and you said, well, can that be corrected? She said, yes, usually with a night guard. But she didn't say, but here's a great idea. When you get the crown, maybe you have a night guard, and then we can warranty it because – you know what I mean? She didn't say
was that unbelievable?
The night guard could possibly take care of any problem like that.
Or even, why don't you come on in? The doctor will take a look. And
if
he or she feels that you need crowns and then a night guard, you'll be all set. You'll be good to go. We can do all that treatment right here for you. When can you come in? Right now? Huh? What? What's your birthday?
I want you to be my dentist.
Exactly. All of the above.
Here's a question I ask oftentimes is, the doctor or the owner, the DSO, or whoever it might be, is back there thinking that front desk person is doing a great job. That was like just god awful,
right? Now the DSO is pressuring the selling doctor to produce and collect, and then they've got this mishigas going on at the front desk.
Exactly. It was just like an unbelievable call.
Yep. I guess we're gonna have to give her a DSOF.
I like that. F on this end for sure. Everything she did was wrong, including at the very end not even getting any information or offering a visit.
Yeah, that was the worst.
Absolute worst, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, horrible.
There we go.
Great one.
I hate to say it. Another mystery call, another F. We don't do 50 calls and only play the bad ones or the good ones, however you want to frame it.
No, we do 55.
Right.
No. We literally, at least like, We don't, these write themselves.
Right. We want to get somebody really good so we can demonstrate that. We just
and occasionally we do. I'd say, what'd you say, 1 out of every 10 to 20 is a good one?
Yeah, 1 out of 10, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe 1 out of 10, maybe 10%.
One or the other. I'm not sure which one. But it is, but it's scary because this is dentistry in the USA. We're calling dental offices all over the country, and this is what we're getting. And you might be saying, well, it would never happen in my office, but are you sure?
And also, you know, just based on all the practices that we've worked with and all the people that have contacted us about coaching or helping their practices, we need more new patients. We need higher treatment plan acceptance. Well, there you go. You have a new patient who's ready for 2 crowns and a night guard at the very least.
At the very least, because chances are, let's face it, chances are they needed a lot more than that. If they know they need that, they need more.
Yep. All right. Hey, we are the Dental Practice Fixers. We fix your practice. I'm Dr. Richard Maddow.
Dr. David Maddow. We will see you next time.